Joining us right now, Gale Klappas, the chairman, the president, the CEO of Wisconsin Energy Corporation. Thanks for joining us here today.
Delighted to be here.
Energy, wow. It's the thing that everybody has to have. You have to do everything in life. It involves some kind of energy, whether it's gas, electricity. A lot on the horizon now, isn't there? There's so much more than just the electric bill.
Oh, yes. We even kept your wife warm this winter.
That's true. Thanks to the natural gas and then the electricity to run the blower.
Exactly. Now, you're really right. The energy landscape in the United States and really worldwide is going through dramatic changes. And in fact, part of that dramatic change we're seeing right in Rothschild right now.
Let's talk a little bit about that. You've got the biomass plant under construction along with Domtar and We Energies.
Yes.
You're on the We Energy side of things, of course.
Yes.
This is a very large, very expensive project. Was it easy to pull the trigger and say, yeah, we have to do this?
Actually, easy is probably not the right word. We gave this an enormous amount of study before we actually approached Domtar about the possibility of building a power plant fueled with woody biomass, basically wood waste from the northern Wisconsin forests, here on the site of the Domtar paper mill in Rothschild. The study really came down to two things. First of all, as you may know, the state of Wisconsin passed a law a number of years ago that requires the state's utility companies to meet what we call a renewable energy standard. Mm-hmm. By the year 2015, just 2 years from now, we will have to produce 10% of all the electricity statewide sold to retail customers from renewable sources. We had already, at We Energies, we had already built the two largest wind farms in the state of Wisconsin. We needed some additional renewable capacity to meet the state law, to meet the state standard for 2015. I'm a big believer, and I think history tells us, that you shouldn't put all your energy eggs in one basket.
True of about any business, really.
Exactly. And for example, while the wind farms produce a fair amount of energy, when it's 100 degrees in Wausau on a hot July afternoon, anybody who's lived here in central Wisconsin knows the wind is normally not blowing on those hot, sultry summer afternoons. So we can't count on wind energy to necessarily meet the entire standard. Nor can we count on wind energy to provide energy when we need it the most on those hot summer afternoons. With the biomass plant, we diversify. We diversify our sources of renewable energy, and we can dispatch this plant. We can call on it when we need it. So we can call on it to run at any level up to the 50 megawatts of capacity that we're building it to reach at any time of the day or night or any season of the year. So the decision came down to, well, goodness, the biomass plant will be more expensive to build on a cost per unit basis than the wind farms, but this will diversify and give us a much better opportunity to meet that renewable energy standard for the state.
And doesn't it also then, because you can call it up when you need it versus when the wind is blowing, it gives you the ability to meet the demand when you have to?
That is exactly right. And then we found another element as our study continued that will make this plant even more effective, more efficient. And that is, it will basically be what we call a cogeneration plant, meaning it will provide two different types of energy sources. We'll provide, by fueling the power plant with wood waste, we will provide electricity, renewable electricity for the grid, but we will also provide steam for the papermaking operations at Domtar. And there's quite a story there. Domtar currently has steam operations that are basically, that were built in the 1960s.
Yeah, I'd heard they had some upgrades that were needed, so the timing might be perfect.
The timing, you're exactly right, was really spot on. So Domtar will close down once we're operational later this year. They will close down their existing steam making operation. This cogeneration plant, providing steam for Domtar and electricity for the grid, will be far more efficient. So Domtar's energy costs will go down. The mill will become, therefore, much more cost competitive. It will protect about 450 jobs at the Domtar paper mill and provide us with the renewable energy we need for the state law. So really, we think this is a win-win. One other really, I think, interesting fact. With the modern state-of-the-art environmental controls that we're adding to this plant, the total emissions from the plant, once we're operational, will actually go down, even though we're adding capacity, will actually go down by 30%. So it's a great environmental story. It's one of the largest renewable energy investments in the state right here in the area. And it will create, we believe, about 150 additional jobs in the logging and transportation industry, because we'll be getting the wood waste, the scraps, if you will, after the forestry and logging activities are done. We'll be getting the wood waste from about a 75-mile radius around the Wausau area.
Let's go back and clarify a couple of those points. It'll lower the energy cost for Domtar with the steam. Even though they'll have to purchase that steam back from you, it'll be cheaper to do that than it will to maintain the existing plant?
You're absolutely right, because the new capability that we're adding there is so much more efficient than the 1960s vintage steam operations that they have. So they'll close down those operations, they'll take steam from us and buy steam from us, and they will still save a considerable amount of money on their energy bill.
Let's clarify the emissions. The emissions will go down. Is that company-wide or at this site?
At this site.
Okay.
Yep, the emissions will be 30% lower at this site.
So what Domtar's existing emissions are will drop, and the two of you combined will have a smaller emissions or carbon footprint, however you wish to say.
We will have a much smaller emission footprint. You're exactly right.
Okay.
So a really positive story from an environmental performance standpoint, positive story from job creation, and then, of course, this is one of the biggest investments in renewable energy anywhere in Wisconsin. So we're really excited about this project. Today we're about 80% complete on the construction, and we are hoping to have the unit operational by the end of this year.
Looking at that big project, I'm guessing that's why the stockholders meeting is in Rothschild this week. Give them a little tour.
You're like Karnak. I mean, you really
don't have the envelope,
so.
Or the funny hat.
Well, we are headquartered in Milwaukee. I grew up, by the way, in Wisconsin Rapids, so I'm a central Wisconsin boy. But we are headquartered in Milwaukee, and normally we have our stockholders meeting each year in the Milwaukee area. But you're exactly right. We wanted to give our stockholders an opportunity to see the construction site as it's nearing completion. And, of course, once it's operational, with security and the other constraints, it's very difficult to have a major tour. So we decided to host the annual meeting at the Stony Creek Inn. It'll be tomorrow morning. And then we are going to offer our shareholders who come to the meeting an optional tour of the site right at the close of the meeting. So we're excited about the project. We really are.
You have a very busy week this week with the biomass site, the shareholders meeting, the stockholders meeting, I should say, and the tour. A lot of things going on for We Energies and your group this week.
We do have a lot going on this week, although it's kind of like any other week with a lot going on. We've actually, and I'm very pleased about this for our customers and for the state. If you turn the clock back about a decade, Wisconsin was very, very deficient in power plant capacity and transmission capacity. We simply didn't have enough power plant capacity to support the economy and grow jobs. We have invested $8 billion in energy infrastructure since 2003. And yes, our electric rates have gone up some to support that investment. But today, we are so much more capable of providing a really solid energy future for the state than we've ever been. So we're really pleased with the progress we've made. And if you look at all $8 billion worth of projects, in total, we brought them in on time and on budget.
As we look ahead and back a little bit, I remember it wasn't a decade, maybe 15 years ago, a lot of places were closing down hydro plants because they weren't efficient enough. Some of those dams and power plants, I believe, are still shut down. Do you think in the future there's a chance those will be retrofitted and reactivated?
I'm not sure that the smallest ones will really ever get to the point where we can reopen them. But I will give you an example of one that's going to be refurbished sometime starting in the next year. We have a hydroelectric plant on the border of Wisconsin and the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. It's called Twin Falls. It's one of 13 hydroelectric plants on our system. Gosh, that Twin Falls plant, hydroelectric dam, was built in 1912. It's licensed by the federal government. We can operate it until the year 2040. But we need to build a new powerhouse. And actually, by building the new powerhouse, which will cost us, you know, north of $60 million, but by building the new powerhouse, with today's efficient motors and technology, we can actually grow the hydro output by 50%.
Technology has changed over the years, and it seems like the last decade it's taken leaps and bounds. What kinds of things are you finding in the industry? And what kinds of things can local individuals and businesses take advantage of to use less energy and perhaps produce some of their own?
Well, certainly there's one development that has probably trumped all others, and that is today the cost of solar energy is coming down. Now, I must tell you that without subsidies, without federal subsidies, the cost of a kilowatt hour of electricity from a solar panel is still not cost competitive. But if we were sitting here talking even 3 years ago, I would probably tell you that in Wisconsin, the cost of a kilowatt hour from solar would be 22 or 23 cents a kilowatt hour, which is really cost prohibitive. Today, it's probably 15 or 16 cents a kilowatt hour. So utility companies like ours are beginning to add little bits of solar to their mix of generating capacity. But probably the biggest development really is in what we call hydraulic fracturing, or fracking, mm-hmm. where the U.S. is now suddenly, we believe there's a 100-year supply of natural gas underground in the United States that we couldn't get to before cost effectively. So the new technology, the horizontal drilling and the use of sand to basically crack open shale rock, has opened up an entire new world of supply for natural gas. And that's why, for example, with such a cold winter this winter, your heating bills are not going to go that high. Your heating bills will still be very, very low compared to what they would have been even 5 years ago. So the developments with natural gas are very significant. And solar, I think, will slowly but surely keep coming down in cost.
Let's go into the fracking industry a bit. We know that there's sand mines all over Wisconsin.
Yes.
Several around the Marshfield area in Wood County, several in the northwest part of the state. Winona, Minnesota, just over the border, just last week, had several arrests of people protesting the sand washing and processing plant. There are people that say it's dangerous, it's not environmentally friendly, and there's others that say there's nothing wrong with this. Right. Where do you stand on that?
If done correctly, and if done according to the rules, I really believe that fracking, as we call it, is perfectly safe. Now, like anywhere and like any industry, if corners are cut and if safety practices are not followed and if sound environmental practices are not followed, then there will be problems. But the good operators who have demonstrated that this is a very safe technology, safe for drinking water, safe for the environment, I mean, I think it's been widely demonstrated that good, solid operators can indeed put fracking technology in the field and give this country a supply of natural gas and, for that matter, oil that we've never really only dreamed of having 10 years ago. In fact, I believe if we're able to continue with the fracking technology, that we will be net exporters. The United States will become net exporters of oil and gas by the year 2020. And who would have thought that would ever be the case post the Arab oil embargo?
That's true. As you look at the increased supply of natural gas, the price will most likely stabilize or even come down. But supply and demand will step in. If you've got major power plants converting from coal to natural gas, if we start using compressed natural gas as a motor fuel, the demand will go up along with that. Where do you see prices for the average consumer, say, a year, 5, 10 years out?
That's a great question. And if I really knew the answer, I'd be in Vegas. The truth of the matter is, if you look at the major commodities that are traded on world exchanges, natural gas being one, natural gas has been, from a pricing standpoint, the most volatile commodity traded anywhere in the world in terms of price. The variations, the ups and downs of natural gas prices week to week and day to day have been unbelievable. I mean, just a year ago, we saw natural gas prices drop below $3 per million BTU. They're above $4 per million BTU today. So I would be less than truthful if I could tell you that I could pinpoint the price of natural gas. My guess is, and I'm just guessing, that'll settle out around $5 per million BTU, maybe a dollar or so above where we are today on the wholesale markets. But I think that raises another point, and you really are asking a very good question. We have always, and I think one of the lessons of our industry, again, going back to not putting all your eggs in one basket, is to have a diverse portfolio of power generation assets so that you're not overly reliant on a single fuel. I'm old enough where I can remember the day that Jimmy Carter banned the use of natural gas for fueling power plants. There is no perfect fuel source, and that's why we have tried very hard to diversify, including using biomass at our new plant here in Rothschild.
with the biomass, along with, I'm sure you've got coal plants, you've got natural gas plants, the biomass, the wind, some solar, a good spread right there.
Yes, and nuclear.
And nuclear. I'd forgotten about nuclear. And let's touch on nuclear. Some of the plants, I understand Kewaunee is going to be shutting down soon, and a lot of the older nuclear plants will get phased out. Yes. But building a new one is very difficult to do if you can even get the permits.
You're absolutely correct. And the truth of the matter is, in Wisconsin today, there's a particular law in the state of Wisconsin that effectively bans the building of any new nuclear power plant in the state until the federal government decides what they're going to do with all the used nuclear fuel. So even if we wanted to today, we could not begin the planning of a new nuclear unit. And I think that has to be fixed. Now, I'm not saying that we would go out and build another new nuclear unit today. I mean, we probably don't need another large power plant in Wisconsin, probably until sometime in the 2020s, with all we've built in the last few years. But I really believe nuclear needs to be on the table as an option. Again, there's no perfect fuel source. We don't know what's going to happen to natural gas prices. Coal is certainly being phased out. It's going to be almost impossible to build another coal-fired power plant in the United States. And I think in Wisconsin, we need that on the table as a potential option so that we can honestly compare that option and its cost and its benefits against the other fuel sources. And I'm hoping that sometime in the next 3 to 4 years, the legislature will remove that ban.
As you look at your diversified operations there with some coal, some gas, has there been any thought to dual fueling some of these power plants where you could run coal or gas or biomass?
Yes, but there is really a limit to how much you can do that. Most of our power plants are designed from the ground up to burn a certain type of fuel, to burn coal, to burn natural gas, to burn oil. And oftentimes you run into maintenance problems or performance problems if you try to do too much mixing of the fuel sources. So our preference really is to try to have the most efficient of each kind as opposed to doing a lot of mixing of the fuel sources.
And separate plants at that so that they don't have the maintenance issues.
You are exactly correct.
Okay. Wind. Yes. There's been a lot of talk lately, especially from a couple of legislators over in the east side of the state about wind noise and health problems that people claim to get from the big turbines. Is that a real issue? And do you think that's going to slow down wind development?
Well, for those who feel like their lives have been impacted by being a resident near a wind farm, it's certainly their perception's real. I don't think there's any question about that. The studies we have done, though, would indicate that really the operation of a wind farm is not a health hazard. Our newest wind farms, the ones we built over the last 4 to 5 years, are meeting the new, more stringent noise levels that the state law has passed. There's now a state regulation that says you cannot emit more than 50 decibels of noise, and that 50 decibels needs to be measured at the nearest non-participating residence, and then at night, 45 decibels. And gosh, we're talking probably, I'm looking at the decibel screen here, we're probably talking above 45 or 50 decibels right now.
Oh yeah.
And if you come down on a summer day in Milwaukee and listen to the Harleys, they're way above 50 decibels, I guarantee you. So we have found a way, and technology is such, that really the wind farms can operate very quietly. There are some other issues that some people perceive, like flicker, where they get a little concerned about the flickering. We have helped some residents with that. And then some of the wind farms actually interfere with television reception. But there we can go to dish and solve that problem if you're near a wind farm. So overall, yes, there will continue to be some opposition about not building a wind farm in my backyard. But again, I don't think we probably will need another major wind farm in Wisconsin for years to come, and the technology continues to improve.
The Keystone Pipeline. There's the big political football out in Washington right now. Most people say we need the pipeline, and even if we don't really need it, it would be an economic benefit because we would get lower cost fuel from Canada, which would lower the price to the consumer. What do you think about the Keystone Pipeline political football and the situation they have right now?
Well, it certainly is a political football. You're absolutely right. I will give you one observation. A couple of weeks ago, I was in Atlanta, actually, for an industry meeting. And the Canadian, the head of one of the major Canadian utilities was at the meeting. And he and I were talking after the meeting, and he said to me, "I don't understand the resistance." He said, "Do you think the United States realizes that there will be a pipeline built, whether it's the Keystone Pipeline in the United States or whether it's a pipeline that will move that energy to the Canadian East Coast for export or to the Canadian West Coast for export? Sooner or later, one will be built, and why wouldn't the United States want to have that economic benefit?" I thought it was a very compelling argument.
And it would be shorter and cheaper to build itself.
It certainly would.
One thing I've noticed over the years, it seems, however, the price of energy is dictates what the American economy is doing. If we're in depression or recession and energy costs are up there, it seems to take a lot longer to get out, where if energy is reasonably priced or even cheap, then things are booming, business taking off, industry's doing great, jobs are getting added. It seems to be the one big variable that determines what the American economy is doing. Would you agree?
I think it's an important factor. It's probably not the only factor, but it certainly is an important factor. And along those lines, because we have completed our major building program, now we still have investments we need to make and work we need to do. But I mentioned the $8 billion that we've had to spend to upgrade the energy infrastructure. Our rates today here, our electric rates today here, are probably a little above the national average. However, we have already installed all the modern environmental controls on our plants that the Environmental Protection Agency is now going to mandate everywhere in the United States. So comparatively, 5 years from now, I'm very confident looking you straight in the eye and saying we're going to be even more price competitive tomorrow than we are today here in Wisconsin with energy. So I'm bullish about the future of the economy here.
And being ahead of the game as far as the requirements is going to help keep that cost stable.
Absolutely. No question about that.
Any chance of a Canadian pipeline going to Superior?
There's been talk of it. But whether or not, I think all of that will take a long time to sort out from the standpoint of both whether or not there's the political will to build it and whether or not the permits can be gained.
What would you say is the biggest change you've seen since you got into the energy business?
Oh, my goodness. Probably the biggest change actually is, and customers are beginning to see it, it's in our network reliability. 40, 50 years ago, before I came into the business, we weren't able to control a lot of our lines and a lot of our network from a central control center. Today we have computer technology, I mean, just like the technology you were showing me here at the station, that allows us to do incredible things in terms of managing our network and shortening outages and power outages for customers. So I think just the advanced computer technology that allows us to really use the network in much more efficient ways has been the biggest change.
And it's changing all the time.
Amen.
Anything you'd like to add today?
No, other than we appreciate your time very much. We are very excited and pleased about the progress of the biomass plant in Rothschild. I think it's going to be great for the region. And as a central Wisconsin boy, I'm really proud that we're building it right here.
Gale Klaff is the chairman, president, and CEO for Wisconsin Energy Corporation, and most of you probably know them by their subsidiary, We Energies. Thanks for joining us today.
You take care. Thank you so much.